Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning. It's always a blessing when I hear the special and understand that that just prepares for the message that God has given me to preach, and as they go hand in hand together this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn with me to the book of Hebrews in chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to be reading the first 14 verses, which is the first chapter of the book of Hebrews. If you will now stand with me, if you found that, if you're able to, we'll read the Word of God together. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, what took place on Calvary's cross, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with oil, with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels, said he, at any time, sit on my right hand, until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? I want to preach a message to you this morning that I've entitled The Extra Blessing of God's Presence. The Extra Blessing of God's Presence. Let's bow before him. Father, we come before you again. Lord, what a blessing it is to be assembled together in thy name, having your promise that you're here in the midst with us, having your word that we can open up and read together. And as we read it, we can gain understanding and knowledge, and then to have it presented in preaching. I pray, God, that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again today, that you would use me as an instrument in your hands to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The book of Hebrews is a very, very powerful book in the New Testament. It reveals a superiority of Jesus Christ. When you're studying the Old Testament and then you see what Jesus ushered in, the superiority of Jesus Christ. He's superior over the prophets. He's superior over the law. He's superior over the sacrifices. Everything about, as you read the book of Hebrews, is just helping us to see that Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament and has ushered in New Testament Christianity. And as he has ushered in New Testament Christianity, it is far better than anything that we find in the Old Testament. The Old Testament had his purpose. But we find that he ushered in God's perfect plan from the very beginning, New Testament Christianity. Chapter 1, and I mean, to study the whole book, it's just a tremendous book, but chapter 1 especially is what I'm looking at this morning, which reveals that he is better than the angels. In verse 4, it says, being made so much better than the angels. Can I tell you this morning that we have in this New Testament church age the presence of the angels of God? Before my heart surgery, I had started a series on Sunday nights. We'd just got through studying the holy angels. We had began a study on the fallen angels. And I don't know, that might have participated, the old devil working hard to get me out of the pulpit. Demonology is very real. Angels are very much a part of this New Testament church age. Matter of fact, if you study the Bible, you'll find that angels are mentioned 167 times in the New Testament, only 108 times in the Old Testament. 167 times. We have the presence of angels. The Bible says in Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse 14, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? That's every believer. Before we look at the extra blessing of God's presence, which are the angels, I want to first of all focus on something that's even more important than the angels. And that's the presence of God. Because Jesus Christ is far better than the angels. We have the presence of God always being with us, no matter what we go through. And it's only found through Jesus Christ. In Hebrews in chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3, it very clearly reveals that. And in verse 3 it says, who being the brightness of his glory, the glory of God, he is God, manifested in the flesh, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, who had created all things, we found in verse 2. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. If you have by faith believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and received the gift that he has for you, then you have the presence of God. Whether you're aware of it or not, you might be blinded to it. The old devil would love to blind you to the presence of God. The devil would love to blind you to the reality of the Bible. The devil would love to blind you to the reality of the very existence of who he is. But if you have by faith believed in Jesus Christ, realizing that he paid your sin debt on Calvary's cross, and you've received him by calling upon the name of the Lord. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says in Romans in chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then not only has he saved you, not only has he given you everlasting life, he has become the one that you look to in time of need. For he is always there. Jesus is being God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are the God, the triunity of God. And God is with us always. There's never a time If you're saved, the God is gone. He's not part of you. He's not with you. The Bible says in Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 14, seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You have a Savior. Hold fast what He has taught us. Hold fast what the Bible teaches us about Him. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so because of that, he says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're a needy people. We need the presence of God every day. There's going to be times that you're going to be even more needy. And the thing that's going to help you as you find yourself in time of need is being aware of the presence of God. In Hebrews in chapter 13, the very last chapter in the book of Hebrews, he tells us this in verse 5 and 6. He says, let your conversations be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, God has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. He's the help that I need. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. The devil loved to fill us with fear. God gives us peace. Yeah. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. He is there no matter what we have to go through in this life. Especially if you and all of us will one day pass through the shadow, the valley of the shadow of death. I love what it says in one of the greatest Psalms, Psalms 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. The presence of God. He'll never leave you nor forsake. If you know him, if you put your faith and trust in him. You see, in the book of John in chapter 14 and 15, he reveals to us that when we receive Jesus Christ, when he was here, he was our comforter. When he ascended up to heaven, he said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will send another comforter that will dwell within you. Representing God dwelling within us means that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. We are sealed unto that day of redemption. We have the presence of God in us. We have the presence of God around us. We have the presence of God. If you're aware of the presence of God, it's what you need when you, especially when you go through the valley of the shadow of death. For thou art with me, and thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Some 7 weeks ago, in the hospital, at the Indiana Heart Hospital, I was laying in a hospital bed, first time I've ever been in a hospital bed. I was waiting open heart surgery. But at 3:00 in the morning, my heart stopped beating. Called for a code red. My wife sleeping on the couch next to me was awakened by all the sirens going off. All the doctors and the nurses and the crash team all come in. (Clears throat) My wife said that she's seen my arm fall off the side of the bed. Because I died. She actually went through more than I did. Because while she was watching them trying to bring me back to life, the nurse put her arms around her, preparing her for the possibility that I would not respond. She seen my body turn colors. She thought it was gone. While she was seeing the outside, I was experiencing a peace that I've never experienced before. It was the presence of God. I was in between this dimension and heaven. I felt the glory of God like I've never felt the glory. I felt God's presence many times. I feel God's presence in this church every time we assemble ourselves together. When I come up here on Saturday nights, as I did last night, if I'm preaching on Sunday morning, I'm here. This is my prayer closet. I feel the presence of God here. I feel the presence of God. I felt it when I've read my Bible, when I've prayed. But I've never felt the presence of God. It was never as real to me that night. I didn't see a bright light. I just felt the glorious presence of God. I had such a peace. Heaven, my goodness. I wanted to go there. There is no doubt in my mind that heaven's real. I believed it before, but after going through this valley of the shadow of death, I wanted to go there. The last thing they was able to do, they told my wife, this is the last thing we can do. And they did that. My heart responded. I started breathing. I thought I was going to glory. And I woke up with tubes, wires. I mean, they had me wired up all over. I had tubes coming out of my neck, out of my arms, my feet, a chest, all kinds of tubes coming out of my chest. I was violated while I was in there. They call it a catheter, but it was a violation. You throw modesty out the window when you're in the hospital. And I thought, I'm not in heaven. No. God wasn't finished with me. Think of what Paul wrote in Philippians 1:23 when he said, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Might have been selfish of me, Because at that point, I was focused on my God. And his presence was so real. I do believe it was the prayers of the saints, of my wife, my children, my church, and those. It's so humbling to find out how many people have been praying for me all around the world with missionaries, other churches. I believe God answered those prayers. After I come out of surgery, had all these tubes and all the wires and everything else, and that catheter. I had another episode. This is after the heart was fixed, six-way bypass. I found out that I had an allergic reaction to pain medications. Every time they would try to help my pain, they'd give the medications, my heart rhythm would get out of rhythm and all sorts of things happened. And so for the next 2 days, I had to go through all of that without any pain medication. The nurses told me they had never had to take anybody through that procedure of the healing part without being able to control their pain. I've never experienced the pain that I experienced. Which brings me to the next part of the message I want to share with you. We have an extra or extended blessing of God's presence. I was aware and I knew that the most important thing was God's presence. But in the book of Hebrews in chapter 1, our text this morning, this came to my mind. The Bible says, and they, speaking of angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? The extended extra blessing of God's presence is being aware of ministering spirits that God has created and that have a part in New Testament Christianity. It's like what fasting is to prayer. A lot of Christians will go through their entire Christian life without understanding the power of prayer and fasting. I think that every Christian understands prayer, understands its connection to God. It's our connection to God to pray. But Jesus taught us that when you go through certain times and certain things, these kinds of things can only be dealt with and get the victory over by prayer and fasting. And so we find that prayer is the most important thing, because without prayer, you cannot fast. If you try to fast without prayer, it's just a diet. But once you understand that as you pray, there's something more you can do. It's an extension of prayer, and you can fast. And when you pray and fast, you find that there's an extra blessing to prayer. There's greater power in prayer and fasting than just prayer. It's what God designed. Can I tell you, there is a greater comfort. Without the presence of God, there is no angels. There is no ministering spirits. But understanding the presence of God is first, but then we find that the Bible reveals to us that God can send them And when God sends these angels, they minister in God's presence. They're His. They're not ours. Can I tell you, don't get carried away with the idea of angels, because they're real, but they are not yours. You are not to communicate with angels. You are not to have a relationship with angels. You have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who gives you a relationship with God the Father, who gives you the power of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's what we focus on. But in knowing that, we find that God in certain times can send ministering spirits, and just the awareness of that can do something for us. They're ministering spirits, but they're His. The Bible says in verse 6 and 7, verse chapter 1, and again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, and let all the angels of God — they're not the angels of man, they're not the spirits and servants of man, they're the spirits and servants of God — He maketh His angels spirits and ministers a flame of fire. Are they not all ministering spirits? God has created all things, and He has created these ministering spirits sent forth to minister. Sent forth, that means they have to be sent by God, but they are sent forth from God to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. And those that are heirs of salvation are those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Not going to be much longer. I want you to get this, though. In Matthew chapter 4, we find the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. 40 days and 40 nights fasting. And after this, the devil comes. Jesus Christ, probably physically, he was God always, but he was in man's body. He was in a human body with human weaknesses, with human frailties. He was probably in the weakest point of his existence as a God-man at this time of temptation. He did this so that we can be helped by a testimony of how we can resist the devil when we have to face temptations. But after he went through all of that, I want you to see something, verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him. His physical body in the weakest state that it could possibly be in and still be alive. And behold, the Bible says, behold, He says, take notice. Be aware. Angels came and ministered unto him. They didn't minister to his spirit because he was God. But as God, his human frailty, his human body, the angels came and ministered. I'm telling you this morning that God would have us to be mindful of His presence first, but also of the extra blessing of His presence ministering spirits. I remember laying there. The chest tubes were the most painful thing. I had to keep them in one extra day because I had a six-way bypass and there was more drainage than what was normal. And I was almost begging Him to take them out, because these tubes go underneath your surgical scar where they cut open your chest, and they go up into your lungs, and they wrap around your lungs, and they're there just for drainage purposes. But anytime you move, they tear into your lungs. Feels like somebody's just ripping your insides out. If you have pain medication, they can numb all of that through the pain medications where they can get you where you don't feel it. Without the pain medication, every time I would even flinch, this pain was so severe. God brought to mind, verse 14, ask God to send those ministering spirits. Can I tell you the pain let up? God's presence was most important, but understanding that there was an extension of that, his presence. That mindset of just being aware that even in that hospital room, and God was aware of my presence, he was aware of what I was going through, and he actually was able to give me some relief that I needed as I cried out to him in time of need. I wouldn't have been able to make it through that, I don't think. Once the tubes came out, I think it was because of that pain. My body had to build up a tolerance to that pain, and that's what I believe has helped me to get better faster than what I have, because I've had a pain tolerance. As soon as they took the tubes out, I was able to get up. I started making a racetrack out of the hallways of the hospital. I went home, and I made my way a racetrack in the house. And every time I'd get up, I would start moving. I wanted to get better as fast as I could. I'd hit a brick wall, and then I'd have to lay down. I'd sleep for a couple hours. I'd wake up, and I'd be right back on the track. Yeah. But what got me through that, the greatest trial up to this point in my life I've ever been through personally in my own physical life, was the presence of God and the presence of his ministering spirits. I'm so thankful that I had that. Now that I look back, I wouldn't trade it, because, wow, it's impacted me in my life more than anything else. There is no question whatsoever that God is real, heaven's real, his spirits are real. God has a purpose for our lives. I'm so thankful to experience God's presence. I just want to ask you a question this morning. Do you have it? The only one way that you can truly experience the presence of God as we need and he wants us to experience it, and that is through Jesus Christ. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you cannot experience the presence of God. If you do not understand the Bible, if you do not look to see how the Bible works, and when it comes to these ministering spirits, it's only according to what the Bible teaches us. You can't deny what the Bible teaches us concerning God sending ministering spirits to those who are saved. And understanding that, you can find some comfort and some help. But it begins with salvation. In closing, I'd like to read to you Psalms 91. Psalms 91, verse 9, it says this. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. You've looked to God, you've received him. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Not only can you be assured of, you have the presence of God. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But if there comes a time when you have need of it, God will send ministering spirits. Wow, what a blessing. Do you know him? Do you know him? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Do you know him? We're needy people. All of us. At times we're going to be needier than others. But we have the help of God in time of need. No matter what the need is, you have the presence of God to help if you know Christ as your Savior. If you don't know him this morning, you can come. As you come to this altar, if you need someone to take a Bible and share with you what you must do to be saved, it's right in the scriptures. They can help you with that. You can leave here this morning knowing that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you have access to the help of God. Don't put it off any longer. Let today be that day. Father, we bow before you this morning. We love you. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. We thank you for your presence, for your help. Thank you for the word of God that directs us in how you work and how what we can claim. Thank you for that. I pray this morning, God, as I have preached what you would have me to preach and understanding this chapter 1 of Hebrews, I pray, God, that you would help everyone here to receive from this exactly what they have need of. And not only receive, God, but make whatever decisions necessary. Work in our midst. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.